Yes, we are. Kathy and Judy here. Whatever we're talking about, you know we welcome your feedback at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us.
You know, before the show, we have our show meeting, which is very long and involved.
Yes, at least a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. And we did have a little show meeting this morning. And lo and behold, Kathy and I both feel a little bit confused about the purpose of the march.
The Women's March on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be going on while our show is on, in fact. I opened my Facebook postings from people, and Susie Kellett, our girlfriend,
right,
another girlfriend, says, I need slogan ideas for a sign to carry at the Women's March in Seattle.
That. Yeah, I saw that.
And it just so pointed out that there doesn't seem to be, if
a
you're
focus.
Marching next week, what is the reason you're marching? There doesn't seem to be a cohesive focus like Keep the Affordable Care Act or anything like that. There seems to be, I guess, myriad reasons. I gather it's an anti-Trump protest, but if you're going, what is your slogan? What is the reason that you intend to be marching and not listening to our show next week?
Well, you could carry your iPhone with you.
Well, it sort of dilutes
your
vigilance.
And it's across the nation, though, right?
There's one in Tucson.
Right.
A little bitty Tucson.
So it's 10 o'clock Central Time, right, which would make it 11 Eastern and 8 o'clock in the morning Western on the West Coast. It will be interesting to see what the turnout is and if it becomes clear what the message is, because I'm not clear on what the message is. I mean, certainly there are a lot of people who feel that the president-elect is misogynistic, that there has been disrespect to women in the time leading up to his taking office.
There are people who are very concerned about their insurance.
But that's men and women.
Right.
Right.
I think there are going to be men in the march.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they're allowed. I think they should be allowed.
Well, of course they're allowed. 312-981-7200. Are you planning to be involved? And we would...
And if so, why?
Exactly.
What
do you see? Yeah, what do
you
see as the focus of the march? There's a lot of, and this happens, damn it, all the time.
Or even what would you put on your sign?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a sense of what it's about.
I'm afraid of crowds, so I don't think I would march. I mean, I know I wouldn't march.
We had a girlfriend call in and it was noisy where she was at, but she said her sign would say, show us your tax returns.
Okay, so that would say that it's basically an anti-Trump march. But there may be those of you who don't feel that's what it's about, or that you feel that it's a way to show the solidarity of women. And I'm looking now. There are so many websites that cover this, and on Facebook, apparently they're being called sister marches. 281 sister marches around the world.
Wow.
That's what this says. It says, this is just the beginning. Whatever your reason for marching, it is exciting. So 312-981-7200. Another post that I saw this morning. Then you lose it. But I'll track it down. Basically said, people are worried about what you're wearing and what color you're wearing and what sign you're carrying and everything else. And let's not worry about that. Here's another one. Women's March LA, hear our voice. And on the Women's March LA, it says, we stand together in solidarity for the protection of our rights, our safety, our health, and our families, recognizing that our vibrant and diverse communities are the strength of our country. I think there's also concern now that women's reproductive rights are challenged. Obviously, the threat to defund Planned Parenthood from the primarily GOP Congress is out there. And reproductive rights are a big women's issue. I posted a thing on my Facebook the other day that says, here's what the GOP wants to regulate.
And oh, my God. Did you make – you didn't make those up. You cut
no, I got it from somebody else. Yeah. Right. I got it from somebody else. But basically, it posted six different things. Oil and gas. Wait a minute. Let me – oil and gas. Stuff the GOP wants to regulate. Air pollution. Nah. Wall Street. Nah. Guns. Nah. Drinking water. No. Oil companies. No. Vaginas. Yes. So women's reproductive rights are an issue. And for those of you who are Trump supporters,
Thank you
have known for years which side of the political fence Judy and I are on. We have and remain liberals. So if that's upsetting to you, then maybe, you know.
This segment won't be.
Yeah. We have avoided politics pretty much.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've stuck with other stuff. But with this Women's March coming up, which seems like it's going to be huge, huge, we just think that it's worth addressing. All right, we're talking to some girlfriends who are planning to march. This is Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Hello.
Hello. Where will you be marching?
I will be marching in Naples, Florida.
Okay.
And I'm marching because I was so inspired by President Obama's speech. And I'm hoping to find some like-minded people who have some ideas for doing some good.
Okay. What are yours?
And I thought that'd be a good place to start.
Right. What are some of your ideas for doing good?
Well, you know, volunteering. I'd like to maybe work with Planned Parenthood. Or, you know, something that's going to move women's issues forward.
Okay.
So are you going to make a sign?
Well, I haven't even thought about that. It's a week from today.
Right. So you have some time.
Yeah, should I?
Well, I don't know. It would certainly give voice to your being there to say, this is a reason that I'm here.
Yeah.
If you have strong arms.
Yeah, think about it.
Or hang it around your neck. You don't.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I like us encouraging people to go to the walk while we'll be sitting on our big fat butts.
This is Sandy. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
You're going to march on next Saturday.
Yes, I decided yesterday.
There's
several of us in Chicago.
Okay.
I was originally thinking of going to Washington, D.C. My husband doesn't want me to do that. And we're going to do it in Chicago. And their website says it's for women's rights, civil liberties, and diversity issues.
Why doesn't Mr. Sandy want you to go to Washington?
Well, he's worried about my safety. He's kind of worried about me going to Chicago, too. And I don't like crowds, but I cannot sit by and watch this country be destroyed by this unfit person that's going to be our president. I am just so upset, and I need to do something.
Have you ever marched? Did you march in the 60s? You never marched.
No.
How old are you?
72.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you scared?
No, I'm concerned. I will be very vigilant and careful, but I feel that I have to do this because I care about this country and what kind of a country we're leaving for our kids and our grandchildren.
I think your safety is not a huge issue. I mean, it's going to be in Millennium Park, correct?
I think we're meeting by Grant Park, I think.
Okay, yeah. Okay. You taking the train down? You driving in with friends?
Yes, we live in Crete.
Okay.
Suburbs.
So you're taking the train up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the streets are going to be jammed with women walking from the train station to the march. Don't carry a purse. Stick your credit card and your cash in your pocket. The less you have encumbering you, the more comfortable you're going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've gone on tours with WGN Group with John Williams and I know how to pack for safety.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, Sandy, thanks for checking in.
And thanks for marching.
Okay. Thank you very much.
312-981-7200. Women's marches are next Saturday. And we're just talking to some of you about why you're going to participate. We'll be back right after this.
Who's the leader of the club that's made for you?
I think there's probably some of our texters who feel that this is a Mickey Mouse operation. The
ours or the march?
Both. Okay. The text line is so interesting and so angry. You guys are all nuts. Why don't you grow up, get behind the president, and be worthy reps of this country? Now you are embarrassing yourselves in our country. I am so tired of all this rhetorical nonsense, but knock yourself out. Sigh. I'm changing to NPR Radio. They're more liberal than we are.
Watch out.
Dork. another one says, ladies, I love listening to you and glad you're back, but people waste their time. Nothing they do will change a thing. Maybe use your time to make a difference. Could we please change the topic? My sign will say strength, love, and opportunities. We were just asking for those why of you who people are marching, why are you marching? And it's just, I don't know. Here's Lauren. Hey, Lauren. Lauren?
Hi, ladies. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi. You know, I'm just calling in. I will not be marching. And essentially, I don't feel like the march is really for me.
Why is that?
I'm a Latina. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that abortion ends human life. And I don't think that the tone is really welcoming to diverse ideas.
Well, I can understand. I can understand you're not marching, though. You know, it seems like the spectrum of people that
and
are
purpose
marching and purpose is, you know, fairly widespread. I mean, if that is your one issue and other issues, you know, it isn't solely about that. But I can see why, if that's your big issue, that you would be misplaced in the march. You would feel that way.
Lauren?
Right, I mean...
Yeah, go ahead.
Ma'am.
No, please go ahead.
Personal liberty is the main factor, and it just doesn't seem like the feminist movement really embraces that diversity of thought and the idea that civil liberty starts in personal decisions and, you know, eliminating control from the government. But I do understand where the direction from the march is going and what they'd like to see. I just don't feel welcome.
Okay, okay. I think you might be surprised, Lauren. I think there's going to be a pretty wide range of signs and purposes, but that remains to be seen next Saturday. We're glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you so much, lady.
Uh-huh.
So
bye-bye. 312-981-7200. This is Roosevelt. Hey, Roosevelt.
Good morning, ladies. How are you doing this
morning? All right, thanks.
Hi.
Are you going to be marching?
Okay, I'm not marching, but you were talking about whether men will be marching, and I've heard that from Luis Gutierrez, he's going to be there.
Yeah, he is. He won't be at the inauguration.
I'm kind of not shocked, but surprised that, you know, you ladies don't see why this march. I mean, I know there isn't any specifics.
Right.
But the gentleman that's president-to-be has broken all the records in a negative way. First candidate that I know, I'm 60 years old. First candidate that I've known in my lifetime that asked Russia to help him, and there's an investigation about Russia helping him to get elected. There's a laundry list of reasons.
Okay, Roosevelt, do you know any women who are going to be marching? Obviously, the list of objections is long, but specifically, do you know any women who are going to be marching? Mom, sister.
Actually, I only know one woman, and she's a nurse. One of my neighbors.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a long, like I said before, long laundry list. I mean, he first candidate that ever settled a case of rape out of court.
Okay. Roosevelt, we're going to try.
The laundry list.
Roosevelt, yeah. We know the list. We've seen the list.
Right.
We just hate to go.
I think that list should be reported because people get kind of confused, and there is no confusion about what this gentleman has done in his past and will do in his future.
Okay.
We're just
Roosevelt, we appreciate the call. We're trying to stay on topic and
focused on the march.
Avoid some detours. This is Maggie.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, Maggie.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Love your show. Thanks so much for letting me come on.
Sure.
I'm from Chicago, and I'm actually in visiting for the weekend when I was hearing your guys' topic. And I will be marching in Denver, where I live now, and my mom is actually going to be marching here in Chicago. And for me, I think the march is important, and I'm marching because it'll create this platform, this forum for women to come together. And whatever that means to you right now, you know, I think that's really important, and I think that's valid, and I think, you know, that's a beautiful opportunity. I think there are a lot of people who were maybe surprised in that community at the outcome of the election. And so we're all just recalibrating and thinking about, you know, what this is going to mean for us going forward. How are we going to self-advocate moving forward and what that community is going to look like? And I think it's a great starting off point to get women and men, my boyfriend will be marching with me in Denver, to come together and, you know, at least start having that conversation.
All right. Great. Maggie, thank you for the call.
Thanks, ladies.
Uh-huh. From the text line, the match is just more sour grapes from Hillary and her misguided backers. Our country has barely survived the last 8 years. It's time to get back to reality.
I wonder if Hillary Clinton is marching.
Back at you, Texter. I think, well, we can argue numbers, whatever. 312, yeah, I wonder if Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton's attending the inauguration, which I find surprising.
Well, I think she has to put on a good face.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I hope she starts wearing makeup again.
Mike.
Hi.
Hi. Are you going to be marching?
As a matter of fact, I will, supporting my wife. But I think the key here is that there's really absolutely nothing that the president-elect could do that would change any of his supporters' minds. I mean, that's,
I think you're right. That seems very clear.
There's nothing possible he could do. So this march is more about, let's remember that there's more than half of the population of this country does not support the ideas that Trump does. So there was a sign or a hat that one of the HBO political commentators who's very, very left, but I still think he's funny. It's a hat or shirt that says, "We're still here." And to me, that kind of sums up a lot of things.
So, and that would be, that's the reason you want to do this, because we're still here.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, more than half the country is not completely shut out or forgotten, number one. Number two, I'm also doing it because it is a woman's march. And I would do anything to support my wife.
Okay. All right, Mike, thank you for the call.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that we got a pretty good cross-section there.
I'll save the world.
And I continue to be surprised at the girlfriends who tune in on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and are surprised at our political positions. Yes, let's turn to less controversial topics.
Well, not exactly. Weddings can get very controversial.
Like mother of the groom. There's an old adage that says that your job as mother of the groom is to put up, shut up, and wear beige. And apparently there have been instances when the mother of the groom wanted to be or expected to be much more involved in the plans than her station might indicate.
Now, to the bride and the bride's mother.
Right. Now, I know that when my son and Ikuko were married, we had to wait until Ikuko got her visa to come here. And after she arrived here, we had 90 days for her to marry Pat to be able to stay here. When she arrived, obviously her mom was in Japan, and so I was fully involved. I mean, we went shopping together for her dress, and we went to pick a place and everything else. So I have to acknowledge right up front that I was a mother of the groom that was very involved in the planning of the wedding.
Did you talk to Ikuko's mother and just to suss it out about if she was okay?
Ikuko did because she doesn't. Hisako doesn't speak English, so it would be difficult. Difficult for me to have direct contact. But maybe some of you have instances. Perhaps it was when your daughter got married and you felt that the groom's mother was way too involved or wanted to be way too involved. 312-981-7200 is our number. And I don't know how those conflicts eventually get resolved.
Do you think that the rules have loosened or tightened because weddings have become such really big deals, you know, between the dress and everything like that?
I don't know.
My day. This is my day.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, this is Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi, good morning.
You were a very involved mother of the groom.
That's correct.
Why?
My daughter-in-law asked me to be.
Okay. Was her mother also involved?
Yeah, her mother was involved. But as we talked after she got engaged to my son, she's one of four sisters. And her mother, in some way, shape, or form, had sabotaged the other three sisters' weddings. And that was my daughter-in-law's hugest nightmare, was that she was going to do something to her wedding, too. So she... You know, her mom was involved, but she was always checking with me, and we were always kind of working behind the scenes to make sure that didn't happen. And she did try, but she didn't succeed.
What is the sabotage thing she tried to do?
Well, we had a setting, and it was a destination wedding, and we had a setting where you had the wedding, and then you had a few hours, and then you had the reception in the same area. Mm-hmm. So earlier that day, we had to be on a pretty tight time schedule, and she started to make noises about, the table and the candles are dripping. And so I pulled her aside and just turned my back to the rest of the people that were helping. And I was like, no, you're not going to do this now. You need to walk away.
Go back and tell me again, because I was checking texts. Why did her daughter not want her involved?
Well, she wanted her involved, but she had kind of sabotaged her other three sisters' weddings so that what they remember most was crying on their wedding day.
Because
of
their mother.
And she didn't want that to happen to her. Right.
And she liked you better. Well, I mean...
No, I'm just different. I'm different.
Are you close to her now?
Daughter. Very, yeah, very, very.
Okay, her name wasn't Nancy, was it?
No.
Okay,
no.
All right, because our next caller's a mother of the bride who said she was kicked to the curb.
No, her family's like three states away.
Okay.
Not even in Illinois.
And
thank you very much.
What's your relationship with her now, Kay? Are you involved at all with your...
Oh, yeah, very close. I mean, she lives twice as far away from her parents as she does from us.
Okay.
We see her a lot.
Right.
So,
all right.
You know, it was her day, and I just, after hearing those stories, I'm like, well, no, it's my son's wedding, too. You're not going to be crying.
Okay. Thank you, Kay. All right. And on the other side of things, this is mother of the groom, of the bride, Nancy. Right, Nance?
I'm mother of the groom.
Oh, mother of the groom. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It started off with the rehearsal dinner, which, you know, I thought that was my job. And I think, you know, Emily Post would confirm that as well, you know. But when I started trying to talk about places to have the rehearsal dinner, she was very opinionated, and it went back and forth and back and forth for close to 6 months. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And finally, I have to tell you that she is married to my son, and her sister is married to my nephew. So the cousins are also brothers-in-law.
Okay.
And none of the kids have an eyeball in the middle of their forehead. They're all normal-looking kids. But my daughter-in-law has yet to include me in anything. She has never sent me a card. She has never called me. She has never made a meal for me. She doesn't thank me for her Christmas presents. When I'm in the hospital, she doesn't call and see how I am. I've just been, she just obliterated me from her
life.
What
happened?
Do you know? Yeah.
What happened?
Do you know why?
You know, it started with the rehearsal dinner. I mean, she became very, very fixated on where she wanted the rehearsal dinner to be. And so what happened was I called her and I asked her if we could meet for lunch and just talk this out. And when I walked into the restaurant, she had my son with her. So, you know, the poor guy is sitting there. He's between the two women that he loves. And she double teamed me. And so what I did was I had a check in my purse ready to just give them and say, go have a good party. I'm not, you know, go ahead. And my son just tore up the check and he said, no, Mom, we're not going to do this. My daughter-in-law said, my parents are giving us money, but they're not telling us how to spend it. And she's just you know what? She's very close with her own mother, which I applaud. I think that that's the way it should be. But boy, I am. When the bridesmaids went to pick out their bridesmaids' dresses and got fitted and then subsequently went for their manicure and pedicure, I was not included.
She really doesn't like you.
No, she really doesn't. She doesn't.
Is there a Mr. Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Where was he in all of this when all this was going on?
Oh, well, let's face it. You know, you never have a conversation with a man. It's an interview. You know, they just answer the questions that you ask them. So he didn't have a whole lot to say. He's tired of hearing about it. He's tired of me belly aching about it because every time we're together, you know, she does something, you know.
Do they have kids? Are you huh? grandparents? Do they have kids?
Oh, they have three beautiful children. Beautiful.
How long ago did this happen?
How long ago? 11 years.
Do they prevent you from being involved with your grandkids?
Sort of. I think they maybe make up, you know, things that, like if I call and say, what are the kids doing? I have a feeling that there are some times when the kids are available, but they tell me that they're not. And during the summer, I only saw them for family events. I never saw them otherwise. And they live in Glen Ellen, you know, so it just is such a heartache to me. I cry almost daily about this. I'm a really cool mother-in-law.
Well, I guess if she gets to vote, so. that wouldn't be her vote. And you don't have a sense of why she dislikes you so much.
Well, my son has told me that she thinks that I am over the top. I'm dramatic. I'm too dramatic for her.
Do you think you are?
You know, I've tried both ways. I mean, really, I have given this some very serious thought, and I've tried to reconcile with myself that she's never going to be a good friend. She'll always be a daughter-in-law, and just take her as that. But then you go to their house on Christmas, and she doesn't even say thank you for a single present. So then you're kind of like tossed back into this.
I can't believe he is defending all of this. Your son. I mean, have you ever had a one-on-one with him about it?
Oh, yeah, many, many times.
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before. I think when it comes down to a man being caught between his wife and his mother-in-law, I think the wife,
That's the truth. I agree with you.
Between his wife and his mom, his primary allegiance, I think, is to his wife.
I think so, too. And it's very difficult for me to actually accept that, but I do. When I go to their house, I can never just stop in. She stands at the door and doesn't let me in.
I think most people would appreciate somebody. Do you live right next door to them or something?
Oh, no. I live in Downers Grove and she lives in Glen Ellen. No.
Okay. So you don't drop in, do you?
Do you just go knock on the door and say, hi, I'm here?
No. If I'm bringing something back to their house that they might have left at my house or something like that.
Okay.
That's all it is, you know.
Yeah.
She doesn't ask you in?
No, she doesn't let me in.
Do you have other children that could provide some joy for you?
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I do.
Is he your only son?
No, I have three boys and a daughter.
Okay. How are you doing with the other daughters-in-law?
I only have one other daughter-in-law, and I'm doing okay. She respects me, and she treats me nicely, but she doesn't include me in. I'm a typical mother-in-law. I'm sort of out in the stratosphere looking, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, if two out of two are distancing themselves from you, in some ways polite, in some ways certainly not polite, have you done the thing that I would do, which is to go into therapy and see what it is about my behavior?
Oh, yeah, I have. I've tried everything, really. Uh-huh. I have to not expect too much from her, and that is a daily effort.
Wow.
You don't call her daily, do you?
No.
Well, you said you cry daily. You said you cry daily.
Because it's just the little things that happen that she does. It's just little things that she does almost daily.
Well, that's a lot of power that she has over you if you cry daily about it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Nance. Yeah. Well, it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
I'd vote with Judy. I'd vote with Judy. I love therapy. You get to talk about yourself for a whole hour. Give it a shot, Nance. Thanks for the call. Where'd she go?
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Take care.
All right.
You're the mother of the groom. You're the mother of the groom. But she said, yeah, but this is just my broom that I like to fly around in. This is just my broom that I like to fly around in. You clean up your own mess.
Kathy and Judy back. We're talking about the precarious position of being the mother of the groom and the mother of the guy who's married to a woman that doesn't like you.
Or her mother might not like you. The mother, like she was saying before, you know, the mother of the bride wanted to throw the rehearsal dinner where she wanted to throw it. And she wasn't the hostess. She was just making strong suggestions. I think, I don't understand why someone doesn't say, look, you know, it's my party and I'll have it where I'm going to have it.
You mean the kids, the bride and the groom?
No, the parents of the groom throw the rehearsal dinner.
Okay. You know, or certainly pay for it, right.
And ostensibly pay for it. And that's their deal. I don't know
why wouldn't they respect input from the people who are being honored that weekend?
Because if push comes to shove, which it seemed to have done for six whole months of discussion and everything, it seems to me that they would say, look, you've got a whole big wedding to plan. You've got the you know, what does it call it? The reception, everything. We really want to do this, follow tradition and do this at this place.
Wow.
They're not going to.
I'm in a different place than you.
Really? You'd mollify somebody, especially since this girl continues not to talk to her?
Well, I mean, that's the continuum. Calls? I mean, you know, it began sometime earlier. This is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
What was your deal?
Well, I am the mother of the groom. And
okay. How long ago?
Married,
how long ago did this happen?
How long ago? Well, he's since divorced, so I'm going to say 15 years ago.
Okay. This is going to be good.
They were married 10 years, probably.
Okay.
But when he was going to marry, her mother was close. The bride and her mother were close. So I went, oh, okay, that's fine. So my son asked me to go with him and buy a suit to wear to the wedding, and we had the best day together. I bought, you know, we went with him. He asked me what my opinion was of his clothes, and we went out to lunch, and that was my extent of my good memory of the wedding. The reception was fine. I was a guest, and, you know, everything was okay. I didn't stick my nose into any of it.
What about the rehearsal dinner?
I don't think they really had one. It was a second marriage for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid for the wedding and everything.
Oh, but okay. They were big adults.
They were adults, right.
Yes, they were. And
right.
Now he's married again, and my new daughter-in-law calls me her favorite mother-in-law, and I call her my favorite daughter-in-law.
Okay, so you think he finally got it right the third time?
I do.
Okay.
I know he did.
Is he your only son?
Yes, he is. I have a son and a daughter, and my daughter never married. So I think when she gets married, it'll be a bash, but I will be considerate of the other family.
Okay.
Because I've been there.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It's good to listen. Just stay back and listen, you know, and, you know, if they want your opinion,
they'll ask for it.
Yeah, I have my own house to take care of.
There you go. All right, Karen, thanks.
Love you guys.
Thank you. From the text line, sometime the groom's family picks a place they can afford and the bride has way more lavish ideas. So, like, the groom's family will say, well, we actually were thinking about having that at
the barn,
Frankie's barn or whatever. Right. And the bride's family goes, well, we were sort of thinking of a place that had, you know, that uses tableware or or something like that. From area 331. Where's here 331? Where
Maybe
is
Alaska.
That? I mean, there's a lot of area codes now that are hard to pin down. A thought for a future topic. The sister-in-law who split a brother, her husband, from his sister, me. There's a million stories out there in the Naked City. We have three sons, no daughters, mother of the groom three times, followed the adage, show up, shut up, but couldn't wear beige because it's not my color. I enjoyed all three weddings. Even if they ask for your opinion, they don't really want it.
Like Twilight Zone music.
Oh, it's the theme song of The Real Housewives.
Oh, okay.
It is? And which Real Housewives?
This one's the Orange County one. You probably don't recognize it as much because they usually talk over it with their little tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in my way because my way is the only way or something like whatever their tagline is.
All right. Now, Kristen, I'm going to ask our callers to call in, but I need some background from you. Our number is 312-981-7200. There is an article in the weekend New York Times, a big darn article, all about the different housewives teams of women.
The franchises.
That's good.
What made Andy Cohen a millionaire?
Yeah.
A zillionaire.
That's the one. That's the Andy Cohen is the producer of all 472 housewives.
Right. And Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And so my question is, why do you watch it? Which one do you watch? And what would you say to someone who's never watched it about why they should watch a certain one and maybe not another one?
Okay, so we've got Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah, there's Real Housewives of
New
York.
New Jersey.
Atlanta.
Orange County. Mm-hmm. And is that cover it?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, or the Orange County is different from the Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. And then there's Real Housewives of Dallas and the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay. I may have seen clips of one or the other. I've never sat down and watched a whole show. They're all rich, right?
Yeah,
all these housewives have mondo money. Okay.
That is a great question, Judy. I would say, me personally, I watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, number one, because it's Hollywood. So that you have some celebrities mixed in there, and it's just they have such a lavish lifestyle more than any other one. The Real Housewives of Orange County, I also watch. It's the very first one that ever started. So you kind of invested. I believe it's been on 8 or 9 or 10 years. So
oh my god, you're
familiar.
Same housewives?
Call us
312-981-7200. I wanted to remind you of that. But you think they're all the same housewives?
Not in Orange County. There's one that's been there the entire time, Vicky. So everybody knows Vicky. She's the OG of the Housewives. And
what does OG mean?
That means original gangster.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that one's just interesting because also it's a different lifestyle. Still rich, but it's different than Beverly Hills. You have New Jersey, which is a lot more family focused. So I would say that one is, plus it's Jersey.
And that's the only one that one of the members has gone to jail.
Yes,
okay.
Teresa.
Okay.
Jail, and she also flipped a table, so everybody knows that.
Okay.
New York, again, you're getting kind of like a scene of what the city is like. So you have old money and new money all with New York.
you know, you have Carol Radziwill, who was married to Anthony Radziwill, who, and they were best friends with JFK Jr. So it's just a little peek. It's a guilty pleasure.
Okay, so we got a bunch of calls coming in. 312-981-7200. Which real me. Judy, now why would you bring this up? Are you watching A Real Housewives?
No, I read the article about Andy Cohn.
Oh,
who is this producer of all of these shows.
Right.
And I thought, you know, just as when I heard about the Duck Dynasty, I thought, oh, there's a world I didn't know about. And this is a big one. This is a really big one. And as Kristen points out, Orange County's been on the air 8 or 9 years, they obviously have some Velcro.
That was the original batch of them. Now, this is Joy. Joy, which one are you a follower of?
I have actually watched all of them for different reasons. The one I probably don't follow as closely is the Atlanta. But I started with the original Orange County, and when it originally started, it really was like a group of women who are really good friends and their families, and you really got to see, you know, their families, and yeah, they had a lot of money, no doubt, which is always, you know, lovely to watch people with lots of money. But, like, I liked the Potomac because of the Washington, D.C. look, and...
Okay, I have a question, and this is just based on my perception of what I've seen. Isn't Real Housewives of Atlanta mostly African American housewives?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that why you don't watch that one?
No, I did start watching it, but it was just, and this is hard to say because they all have pretty catty women. It was just a bit cattier than some of the others.
Okay.
So think it's the cattiest? Which one do you think is the least catty? Catty.
It's
I was thinking of Jersey because it is family, and you ended up like hating the girl. You know, Teresa went to jail, and then you went feeling for her and her whole family. You know, and
what'd she do?
Her husband's in jail, and you know, it is family, and it makes sometimes your dysfunctional family look better because you don't quite have as many flaws as they do.
Did she commit a crime that was televised?
Yeah. Well,
it was she
televised
and her husband.
Crime.
Yeah,
it was mail fraud and like cheating on taxes or something.
Right. Yeah. And my observation about this one and with every other, quote, reality show on the air is that it has very little to do with reality, that most of the situations are instigated by producers. Do you get that sense,
yeah.
Joy? That they're saying,
yeah,
okay,
kind of
this week we want you guys to fight about the dress for the wedding. And then next week I want you two who've been good friends to pretend like you're really mad at each other. Don't you get that sense?
Well, it's not exactly like that, but they will sort of manipulate a situation. This is from what I've heard, like from backseat and stuff like that. They don't actually like script it that way, but they'll like manipulate it so that they'll catch like fighting about something. You know, they'll create a situation. You know, like the telephone game where, you know, she said, he said, and they mm-hmm. said, and then they'll clip it so that. That you know, that is what comes out.
Are the five of them always together on a couch?
That's the end. Yep, that's the reunion. And that's where they get to be, you know, say, well, you said this. And, you know, it's girls. You know, it's like high school. I did not say that about you. You did, too. We all heard you. No. Well, yeah, you did.
You know, is this the kind of relationship, Jan or Joy, is this the kind of relationship you have with your girlfriends?
Oh, my God, no. Oh, no, it's just, it's so unrealistic that it's like just an escape. It's like reading a really trashy novel, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way, Joy.
Right, and one of our texters says, I'm a 51-year-old man who watches several of the Housewives shows, a totally guilty pleasure. The hook for me is that compared to the cast members, my life looks blissful.
Exactly.
It makes me feel good about my own life versus complete and severe dysfunction.
I do have to say one thing. I have like the original DVD, and they did a, like their original like quote couch was just a bunch of the five women sitting on chairs in a patio. Mm-hmm. And they said when it originally started, they told them to go about being average. You know, don't wear makeup, dress the way you want. And they said when they saw themselves, that first couple of shows, they flipped and immediately
said, get us some makeup, people.
You know, full costume, because, you know, they did initially what they wanted them to. And then when they saw themselves, they were like, holy cow, do I look like crap?
Okay, does the show buy their clothes, or do the women buy their clothes?
They have to buy their own.
They have to buy their own.
So
they have to do their own hair.
Yeah, a lot of them have like personal hairdressers, like living at their house, or come to their house, or they're rich enough that they have the salon room.
And do they make money at this?
Oh, yeah, they get paid.
And when someone is thrown off a show...
Well, also, the housewives have really learned how to... every housewife now has a product that they can plug, because Bethany Frankel was the master of this, and now she is one of the richest women, with her Skinny Girl line. So now the women that go on this reality show, usually... It's not about being a reality star. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to use this as a marketing tool to push my product. Are all their products successful? Absolutely not. But Teresa from New Jersey has every book on the New York Times bestseller list because people are intrigued. Is it because she's a great writer or she's a fabulous cook? Absolutely not. But she's on television.
Wow. All right.
This is unnerving.
All right.
Really?
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you, ladies. I love listening to your show. I'm so glad you're back on.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
We'll be back with more of your calls at 312-981-7200.
If it doesn't make me money, I don't do it.
I don't keep up with the Joneses. I am the Joneses.
Are these women?
Money and class do give you power.
We're talking about the Real Housewives franchise. There's about half a dozen of them.
In all these towns. Yeah. Are most of these women, Kristen, in their 30s and 40s?
Actually, I would say more. There's only a handful in their late 30s, and most of them are in their 40s, 50s, and maybe early 60s.
Wow.
Oh.
All right. Now, this is Alice. You like the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I do. I like all of them, actually. But I started watching the Real Housewives of Atlanta probably 2 seasons ago. Just, you know, because it is a guilty pleasure. It's just,
you know, that phrase, I'm looking at the texts, that phrase comes up again and again. Guilty pleasure.
It's kind of like, you know, I go to work every day, same thing, day in, day out. I like my life. But it's kind of fun to see, like, all the fun outfits, all the restaurants they go to, you know, the drama that I don't have to be involved in. But it's just interesting. That's all.
Yeah, it's fun to observe the drama, and you don't have to, you're not involved at all in it.
Exactly.
But it just cracks me up.
Right. It's just kind of like a kid in school watching somebody else get in trouble in the classroom and you're not involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's always a conflict.
Oh, almost always.
Not always. Like, lots of times there's events and things like that, so you're curious to see, you know, what they're going to wear, you know, where they're going to get dressed. And they always have people doing their hair and makeup.
At their house?
So it's just fun.
And also with Atlanta, Atlanta is a whole nother world. There's, like, vocabulary that I never had even heard before until I watched Atlanta.
Exactly. That's what kind of got me hooked as well. I'm like, oh, I'm learning, like, so many new things here.
Well, what kind of vocabulary?
So, for example, if you're gossiping about somebody, they call it spilling the tea.
Or you're throwing shade.
Or you're throwing shade.
Yeah. Right. That one's
throwing
out
shade,
there. Right.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times, like, I've gone on Urban Dictionary and, like, looked up, what does this phrase mean? You know? And I'm like, wow, that's like really cool. That's really interesting.
But if you used it, it would sound funny.
They throw the best shade.
It depends on who you're with. However, the one thing I wanted to say about the Real Housewives of Atlanta, all of the women are all professionals in their own right. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily that they married so-and-so and now, you know, they became, you know, I don't know, some sort of social status, and now they developed a brand. Like Phaedra Parks, she's a philanthropist, I should say. She's a lawyer. You've got Cynthia Bailey, who's, you know, like a New York runway, you know, high top model. You've got Nene Leakes, who kind of came into her own. I don't know.
She's hilarious.
After
so they're not housewives, and they're not really real.
Well, so they live in New York. Exactly what I would call a housewife. They're businesswomen. These women are businesswomen, but they do have families. You know, mm-hmm. some of them come from old money, some of them come from new money. But
are the kids on the show
I like
ever?
About them is they, I'm sorry,
are the kids.
Their kids are not on the show as uh-huh. much as you would see the one from
New Jersey,
yeah. Or it used to be back in the day, the one from California, what was that one called? That one is when it first started with Vicki Gunderson. Their kids used to be on all the time.
Apparently,
really
she's
that.
Apparently that Vicki person is from around here. Somebody texted and said
what?
She's from Mount Prospect.
Yes, I read
yeah,
that.
She is.
She grew
yes.
up around here, right.
Yeah, yeah.
One of our callers... from 847 says, I never watch. I don't understand women being unkind and mean-spirited to each other for entertainment.
Heavenly yours, yeah. Rhonda.
yeah.
I will say, though, you brought up, you asked if, you know, you act that way towards any of your friends, like how the housewives act to each other. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, like, if there are certain moments in our lives that were broadcast on television and kind of packaged the way they are, because the housewives have really... figured out how to keep the drama going, because the women, they film, but it's not like they get to go back and review each day's filming, so they don't see the episodes until right before they air. So then
exactly.
it airs, and then all of a sudden you've got a Twitter feud going on because somebody said something in an interview that hurt somebody else's feelings. And if you think about it, if you're like, well, if my conversation with like my best friend was broadcast, and say we might have said a little catty thing about a different friend, but like nothing that like we really meant, or we were laughing about something, and then all of a sudden she saw it along with all of these other people, I bet that the drama would be there too.
Well, have the Orange Counties ever gotten together with the Beverly Hills people? Do they ever put 10 housewives on?
Sometimes there is a crossover where like one housewife will be visiting, but very rarely, and it's only if it's an authentic friendship, which there are some friendships that are, they have been friends for 20 years and they both happen to be on the Real Housewives.
They do take girlfriend trips, which is fun to watch. Like the ones of Orange County last season, they went to Ireland, which was a hoot. It was so funny. But then there was a lot of drama. I mean, they went from having a fight in a bar, from too much drinking, to milking cows and being sprayed all over with milk.
Right,
and,
normal
I
stuff.
Mean, I mean,
normal. That's how your trips to Ireland have gone, right, Kristen? Kristen's been on a couple. So totally
oh, yeah.
like real life, right?
Oh, yeah. Steve Bertrand and I always milk the cows
exactly.
whenever we go to Ireland.
Alice, thank you for the call.
Really, thank you.
And quickly, this is Jeanette. Hey, Jeanette.
Hi.
What's your observation?
Well, I watched the Kardashians, and it's like the ultimate form of escapism, and I always say it's like playing Barbies. You know, when you're little, you play Barbies, and they get in their fancy cars, and they go to their mansions, and the sisters would exchange outfits, and then they'd get on a jet, and they'd go to Paris, and they'd have a concert, and then they would go to a ball. I mean, that's playing Barbies for me as
an adult.
Right. I mean,
it's right, like real-life Barbie dolls.
Right, Perez. You know who Perez Hilton is?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I listen to his podcast weekly, and I've called many times. And you know, there when you call, they just put the calls on at the end of the show because it's not live,
mm-hmm.
and then they comment. And I've called a few times about my Barbie theory, and they seem to agree with me and like the theory of the escapism. You know, so there is a phenomenon with the housewives. And
yeah.
The Kardashians, you know, we're bored, you know, we're living vicariously through these people with the beach houses and the jets. It's kind of fun.
Jeanette, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
312-981-7200 is our number. Kathy and Judy back. When we come back, I would like to talk to adults who were bullied as children and to ask if you think that has had any effect or no effect on how you are as an adult. I read an interesting piece on this this week and thought, wow, who would ever, well, if you were bullied as a child, you probably would be able to address that. So you know our number, 312-981-7200, if you were bullied as a child and how it affects you as an adult.
Bullet, bullet. Bullet, bullet. Yeah.
We're talking about bullying, and it's a topic that comes up a lot. This is about not children who are being bullied now, but children who were bullied then and who are now adults. One researcher has a study. She's interviewed hundreds of adults who were bullied as teens, and she estimates that she says that there is a syndrome. She's not asking that the Psychiatric Association make it official or anything, but she's calling it adult post-bullying syndrome. And she believes that many people with adult post-bullying syndrome commonly struggle with trust and self-esteem, develop psychiatric problems. Some become people pleasers or rely on food, alcohol, or drugs to cope. I'm not sure that that she's able to say that's why they're that way, but she's just saying seems to be a relationship between bullying and having been bullied and these behaviors as an adult. Now, this is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Fine. Why were you bullied as a child?
Why was I bullied? Because I was different. I didn't know at the time. I guess people maybe suspected that I was gay, but I didn't know what that was because you're little. You don't know.
Okay.
But I wasn't. Plus, I had older parents. I was raised by my grandparents, and so I couldn't participate with the other kids in certain things, you know, like Little League or stuff like that.
Oh, right, because your parents / grandparents were older.
Exactly.
Right. So how do you feel that has affected you as an adult?
Well, growing up as a young adult, when I figured out what I was, you know, what really this thing is, if you remember in the 80s, you know, we had the Ryan Whites, you know, of the world, and you just didn't come out. So I was more introverted. I was a loner. Didn't have that many friends. Stayed to myself, basically. So I had a chance to go to college, but I didn't.
Because you were afraid of being bullied?
Yes. I mean, when I was in grammar school, I was spit upon, throw downstairs. I had human waste thrown at me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, but today you try that. No, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't fly.
Okay, when did you come out?
I found my voice. How can I say? I really never really came out to my grandparents. My grandfather suspected, but not until the 90s when I felt really comfortable.
At what age, Mike? In your 20s or 30s?
Late 30s.
Right. Okay.
And my hairstyle is today, so isn't that funny?
So but,
I actually had a client of mine recently just said she never suspected because I was never, you know, I don't go to the clubs and I'm in one now, but I was in two long-term relationships, the one that I have now and the one that I had before.
Right. Well, there's a lot of ways to be straight and a lot of ways to be gay.
Right. And it wasn't that I was ashamed. It was just more or less I didn't feel that confidence that I have now. Now, forget it. I don't care.
Right. You know, don't mess with me.
Right, don't mess with me anymore because it's done. And I wouldn't go out and hurt somebody, but I just feel sorry for those people.
Okay, you know? That's what we're talking about.
And I don't have any relationships with anybody from high school and or grammar school whatsoever.
Okay. I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. This is from the text line. Of course, I just lost it. I'm going into a meeting but want to say that I was bullied as a child and preteen, and it stays with me even though it has been years. I am not the fat and lonely girl that I was then, but I remember. Growing up, I was ridiculed by an older sibling. I'm 64, successful career, financially independent, and still weekly have to remind myself I'm good enough. An employer once told me, "You don't know how great you are, and I have had therapy, and consider myself a strong person." Ridiculing and bullying leave a strong imprint. And this is from the other side. This is Steve, the bully.
Hi, I'm actually going to turn this conversation 180 degrees.
Okay.
I was the bully.
Okay.
And right now I'm 53 years old, and I was raised, if you're if you're Jewish, if you're black, if you're whatever, it didn't matter. You're not us. Well, I grew up, and I realized that we're all people. I'm actually very, very good friends with the person on Facebook that I used to bully.
Did you apologize?
Yes, I did, immensely.
Uh-huh.
And we're very good friends on that. And it's kind of nice to talk to people that I did bully, and they accept my apology. And I feel so bad of what I did. It's the way that I was taught.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
What do you teach them?
I teach them that everybody is created equal.
And if you were to find out that one of your kids was bullying somebody, either directly or online, what would your response be?
I would sit down and have a conversation with them and say, why are you doing this? Luckily, I haven't had that problem because my wife and myself did raise our children the right way.
Well, so everybody's right way is a little different.
Right, yes, right, exactly. Your parents thought they were raising you the right way.
Yeah, what I consider the right way is that everybody is created equal.
Right, yeah.
I was a bully too, Steve, and there's one girl who I think of often and wonder whatever happened to her because we weren't very nice to her at all.
Yeah, I did that too, and I finally found her, and I had talked to her. And like I said, I apologized immensely, and she accepted it, and we're very, very good friends. She lives in Los Angeles, California. I live here in Ingleside, and we're good friends.
Well, good. Mike, I'm glad you figured it out.
Thank you, ladies.
I mean, Steve. Okay.
That's okay. I understand.
Appreciate the call.
You bet.
312-981-7200. This is Stacy. Hey, Stacy.
Hi there.
Hi. Have you been bullied?
Oh, yeah, all my life. It started when I was a kid. My size, I was fat, still am. But it started then when I was a kid growing up, getting pushed into lockers, spit on, beat up, threatened. And it made me not want to be friends with anybody.
So as an adult, you have trust issues as a result of that?
Oh, of course, yeah, I do. I mean, I have a handful of good friends, but that's about it. You know, on Facebook.
Well, a handful of good friends, that's something that's truly valuable and that a lot of people do not have.
Yeah, yeah, I am grateful for the friends that I do have that I can trust. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling not knowing people staring at you.
And that continues?
Yes, it does. It does continue. Like, I don't know I'm fat. That's, you know, it's not a big surprise. I wake up every morning and look in the mirror. But I cannot trust people. It takes a long time for somebody to earn my trust.
I'll bet.
Do you watch This Is Us?
No, I don't. I've seen, like, one episode, but I haven't watched it.
Well, the character who plays Kate is really big.
Yeah.
And she, like you just described, she's fully aware that she is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And her size does seem to haunt her. It isn't like she's oblivious at all to the fact. And, of course, nobody as an adult says anything to her. But she seems pretty pulled together. But I think, you know, the bullying she had and the nagging from her mother rest with her. You know, currently, even though this is only a TV show.
Yeah.
I had the nagging from my dad, not my mom.
What about your dad?
He's the one that, him and my stepmother tried to get, you know, bribe me to go on diets and stuff, and I was never good enough.
Right.
Was never good enough. But my mom just said, I want you to be happy. She'd like me to be healthy. But she was the one person I could trust. And my brother also. But,
Have you ever been able to go into therapy at all?
Yes, I have gone into therapy. I mean,
helpful.
When I turned 18 out of high school, I was so over the top with self-hate that I attempted to kill myself.
Oh, geez.
And I was in a hospital for a month. And, you know, I still have to go to, you know, psych sometimes just to, you know, realize that God made me and I'm an important person.
Right. And it's not about your size. It's
right.
about your soul.
Right.
Right. Well, Stacey, we're glad you're a girlfriend. Thank you for listening.
Oh, it's an honor to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless your heart.
Thank
Thanks.
You. Well, all right, bye-bye.
We'll take more of your calls and check out more of your texts at 312-981-7200 after this. We're talking about being bullied as a child and whether or not you think that affects how you are as an adult. And this is Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. You were bullied as a kid.
Yes, I was. Big time in my mind, and that's what counted from the time I was little.
For what reason?
I was a chubby.
Okay. Okay.
So everything that related to anything being fat, which was everywhere, then it was always labeled, oh, it's her. From the time I started school until I got to be the real swan when I got into high school, and then it was a different aspect. But I'll tell you what, whatever I suffered, I don't consider it a negative to me.
Why?
Because I can see a lot of positives that happened. And when these people that look at themselves as, you know, like the lady, the psychologist said that you're wary of people and you're a little like that, I look at it a little differently and say that it doesn't take me long to size somebody up. That's the way I look at it. That's a positive. I've had really good jobs in my life. I've had to deal with CEOs, CPOs, managers, blah, 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 blah. But I can look at somebody and be with them for just a small amount of time and know where they're going.
How does that relate?
It doesn't relate to me. It relates to being bullied. You do tend to look at people. You do tend to try to find out what they're going to do. Also, it made me much, much more compassionate. I'm a very compassionate person because of what I went through. You know, everybody's got a story, so I'll listen to your story. I also think that being raised with parents that that supported but did not dote on me, I was not doted over because I was had a situation. They supported me and said, whatever you need to do, you do it. And that was it. And it almost, one instance was kind of like the little Christmas story with Ralphie. And these three boys used to follow me home all the time, throw rocks at me, call me names, blah, blah, blah. And then one day I thought, that's it. You know, my daddy told me, you do what you have to do. And I did. And I took them down. And
you took down three boys?
I sure did. Two
How?
Of them took it, and the other one ran. And from that point on, they didn't bother me anymore. And I thought, well, I had confidence then from that point in myself. I thought, that's it, you know. And that was it. I was only like third grade or fourth grade at the time. And from that point on, I had significantly more confidence in myself.
And you didn't get teased in middle school, which is the meanest time of all?
Oh, sure. I was a chunk. Yeah, I was still chunky. And then, like I said, by the time, I'll never forget this. This is important. When I got into high school, I was a sophomore in high school, and we had these big study halls. And who would be sitting next to me? And I can remember all three of their names. I could tell you every single one of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But for naught, and this kid was sitting right next to me, and he looked over and he says, don't I know you? And I say, yeah, you do. You sure do. He says, yeah, didn't we go to school? I said, yeah, we did. He said, oh, are you going with anybody? I said, no. And he says, would you like to go out? And I said, not with you, but thanks. And I thought, there you go. Life turns around. So that's my story. I know that not all people go that route. For many, many more, it's a traumatic, horrible, terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
It's horrible, and it can be horrible. And not everybody, you know, it can go one way or the other. Either you can make a positive and take your lemon and make lemonade if you have that backup or that personality. But on the other hand, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. Well, we're glad it made you more compassionate, Kathy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot, lady.
Okay. Bye-bye. And this is Rhonda, who's been waiting a while. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, ladies.
Hi. You sound pretty burly.
Yes. I'm making cookies, so, you know, you can't not be perky.
Okay.
But, no, I'm really enjoying actually hearing the other callers' experiences. Yes, I was bullied pretty severely from fourth grade through about 10th grade.
For what reason?
Well, they claimed that I was fat and ugly, but I was the new girl in school.
Okay.
And it just, I never hit it off. And looking back at pictures, I was neither fat nor ugly.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, that's how it was. And it was rough. I mean, it was very lonely. I was very scared. I was intimidated, chased home. I'm not even going to address all that because your question was how it affects you as you're older. So two things. Once I hit 18 and I moved out on my own, I moved up to Milwaukee, didn't know anybody, got a job in customer service, and just kind of had this personality bloom, and I gained self-confidence, and I kind of promised myself I'll never be in that situation again where I feel powerless or like somebody has control over me and what I think of myself. That's a long road. You know, we all have bad days.
Was therapy involved?
No, not for the bullying. And the worst part is I personally, in my home life, my parents had struggled with addiction. So not only at school I was dealing with that, but then my parents had their own issues, so they didn't see what was really happening because they believed they would have stepped in more had they realized how bad it really was. But,
and what was the second thing?
What was
this? You said that there were two things.
Oh, two things. Okay, so one, I learned I'll never do that. And then two, I now have twin girls. And not only will I'm doing my best to raise them, A, to not tolerate somebody bullying them, but to have the confidence and strength to step up. If they see somebody being mean to anyone, they are to step in. I have told them, they're 7 years old, I have told them that they have my permission. They will never get in trouble with mommy if they step in to stop someone else from being bullied, whether it be, you know, they get reprimanded at school, and they're also told to stick up for each other at all costs. And again, they will never be in trouble with me for sticking up for themselves or others. But at a 25-year high school reunion a few years ago, one of the girls who was really bad, the worst of the bullies, actually approached me and apologized to me, acknowledging what she had done, and she was totally ashamed. And she'd said, like one of the other callers had mentioned, she said, "I don't know why I did that." She said, "I was raised better than that."
Wow.
She profusely apologized. And I will tell you, that healed something in me. I did not know that was still a wound. I thought, you know, oh, I'm past it. I was a kid. Whatever.
Right.
When she apologized, I was brought to tears. We were both crying because it was that, you know,
And speaking of that, thank you for the call, Rhonda. This is from the text line. I'm at work right now, and I'm crying listening to this segment. I was bullied as a kid by my mother and teased by kids in school since I just wanted to belong. I guess they call it abuse. But the stats you had at the beginning were amazing. I've had drug issues, self-esteem issues, still do, food issues also. To this day, I still want to feel loved, but I am an overachiever. I work 60-plus hours a week. And I just turned 60. Very interesting topic.
Whole life.